The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, January 2018, Volume 19, Number 1. And this is the third and final installment of the January issue. We had some really bad weather at the beginning of the month that kept a lot of us volunteers from getting into the radio station. On the cover this month, Oprah lounges on a deck chair on the deck of a Holland America Line cruise ship off the coast of Alaska, with a bit of blue sea showing beyond the rails, and surrounded by deck chairs with blue cushions, Oprah shines in an orange and yellow windbreaker. The big wide O for Oprah magazine sits on a royal blue background in the upper left-hand corner of the cover. This month's headlines are Time to Hit Refresh and How Asking the Right Questions Can Set You on a Whole New Course. And with the new year, the format of the magazine has changed a little bit. Some of our old favorites, the May We Help You section of the magazine, have been rolled into the Live Your Best Life section of the magazine. So Martha Beck's contribution this month is there in Live Your Best Life, and it is called Hunting for Happiness. And it's an interview. And here's the subheading. Dixie Late is tired, uninspired, and spending too much time cruising eBay. Can life coach Martha Beck help her find her purpose? Eavesdrop on their first session in our new series. The backstory. Though freelance writer and consultant Dixie Late advises clients on developing their personal brands, she's struggling to find her own mission. Quote, I'm like the cobbler who has no shoes, end of quote, admits the 55-year-old who lives with her husband in New York City. She's been self-employed since 2015 when she was laid off from her job as an editorial director at a TV network. Now that she has no structured schedule, her motivation has taken a leave of absence. It doesn't help matters that she's on medication for endocrine and neurological disorders, which leaves her sluggish and has put on 40 pounds since menopause. She says, quote, I used to have joie de vivre, but lately I've got no joie, and it's taking a toll on my vivre. I have to crawl out of this torpor and do something meaningful, end of quote. If anyone can terminate torpor, it is O's life coach Martha Beck. In part one of our series, Dixie gives Martha the scoop. And we start out hearing from Martha. Hi, Dixie. I've heard you're smart, funny, and full of potential, but you might need a little kick in the pants. Dixie's reply, absolutely. Things have been taking a downturn ever since my health problems started. Now that I'm at home, I'm watching a lot of Law and Order and reading magazines and trolling eBay. Meanwhile, I'm getting older and fatter, but I know I could be doing more with my life. Martha, the question of what you should do every day is a deep existential dilemma, because the way you orient your day should be determined by the way you want to orient your life. You told me you're a philosophy major. What is your definition of the meaning of life? We'll start small. Dixie, I think you should be kind. I think you should be authentic. Martha, that's your responsibility to the world. What do you want from the world? Dixie, love, comfort, attention. Martha, what kind of attention? Dixie, I don't know. I'll try to answer you without being embarrassed. I like it when people appreciate things that make me unique, like something I've written or my apartment. I love retro style, and when people compliment my home, I get very happy because it's an extension of me. It's like people are getting the essence of who I am. Martha, so you're a creator. You have fun expressing your essential self and connecting with people who understand it. That's a great reason for living. As Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, beauty is its own excuse for being. In my own moments of wondering what the hell life is about, I believe if I can experience joy, that's enough reason to occupy a body for a while, you know? Dixie, I agree, but the idea of joy as its own excuse for living also scares me. What if I'm just lazy? Martha. Let's explore that. I want you to go to a moment when you're just sitting around watching TV and feeling completely fulfilled and comfortable, Dixie. And though I do love style, I'm an obsessive online shopper. I wonder if I'm just using clothes and things to build a persona, Martha. Okay, but let's go to the moment. You're watching TV and everything's fine, but then something changes and you become afraid. Dixie, Law and Order gives me joy, but in 4 seconds I can tell you who did it. The show always has the same narrative template. I think that reassures me. Martha, hang on. When I try to get you to slow down and hold on to the tension in a certain moment, your mind quickly begins generating stories. Your shopping's a problem. You know every episode. That's understandable because you're very verbal, but underneath, I'm feeling a tremor of anxiety. Your mind doesn't want to stick with that anxiety, but it contains important information. So imagine the scene. You're perfectly happy, but suddenly you begin to tense up. What are you thinking? Dixie, that I don't want to be a person who sits on her couch all day in sweatpants trying to figure out who the murderer is. Martha, so you know what you don't want to be. What should you be? Dixie, I want to be a more energetic version of myself. Martha, you're very specific when you're saying what you don't approve of, the sweatpants, the couch, but very vague when you talk about what you think you should do. It's like you're a marksman, and the only instruction you have is, you see that target? That's not it. You have to locate it before you can shoot. Dixie, I've read hundreds of self-help books, and I try to come up with specific goals, but the Epicurean pull of just sitting around seems stronger than doing those things. Martha, that's more sybaritic than Epicurean. The sybarites were into sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The Epicureans believed in doing what felt right to the soul, not just the body. And thanks, Miss Philosophy Major, for giving me the perfect segue. Let's switch to East Asian wisdom, which contains some ideas that are essential if you're going to know what to do with your life. Interior stillness, for instance. You don't seem to be able to experience that. Dixie, you're 100% right. I don't like meditation. I don't like yoga. Quiet makes me so antsy. I leave the TV on when I sleep. Martha, that's typical for people with high verbal skills. Anxiety engages your fight or flight mechanism, which makes you want to run away. And the mind's way of running is to continuously talk. But interior stillness is where all truth arises. It's where you'll find a deep knowledge of your beliefs, which will guide you toward what's right for you in this moment. Dixie, I've tried to hear that truth, but I can't. I've spent most of the last 55 years thinking about it. Martha, you can't find the truth by thinking. You've been thinking your whole life. How's that working? Dixie, it isn't. Martha, it doesn't work. It's like trying to steer with your engine. You keep gunning, but your brain just goes in circles. You get nowhere. Let's forget about your brain right now and check in with your body. That's where you'll find your helm and compass. And we have some pictures here. We have a picture of Dixie at the flea market indulging her love of all things vintage. And this is your classic, classic scene, racks with clothes hanging on them, lamps and bric-a-brac on a table. And Dixie's wearing a pair of coveralls, bib overalls with a short t-shirt, and she's got this sort of 1940s thing going on with her short bangs and her hair kind of curly falling just above her shoulders and then kind of pulled back on the sides as well, and dark lipstick. And there's another picture of her with her husband, Jeff, and he's got this great vintage hat on, a trilby. And her hair in this color picture is kind of a carrot, deep auburn red. Again, those short bangs, but cut a lot shorter and a softer looking, less kind of a 1940s look. And then we have a picture of Dixie's femorabilia lots of portraits of women hanging on a wall, and we're assuming this is where she lives. And we have a Marilyn Monroe and several others that look like they're from the 40s and 50s, perhaps. So Martha Beck says next month, Dixie gets out of her head and in touch with her heart. Let's look at a few things now from the O list, a few colorful, comfy, cozy things we think are just great. And we heard about a few of these in the last installment. And in the middle of a two-page spread here, we have, under the heading Counterintelligence, we've got four different colors of this great little KitchenAid countertop. Well, let's see. Meet your own private sous chef. Compact 3.5-cup mini food processors, chop and mix, pulse and puree, all while saving time, space, and sanity. They're $50 each, and you can go to KitchenAid.com to find out more. So they're kind of short and squat looking, little canister on the top with a black handle and a black lid, but the bowl is actually clear, and you can see the blade there. And they're shown here in three great kind of retro colors. And they do have that sort of KitchenAid industrial retro look. The first one's a butter yellow. The next one's a mint green. Next is fire engine red. And the last one is not quite Kelly green, not quite lime green. Now below this, under a heading that says Triple Your Pleasure, this select wooden cheese tray includes three raw milk variety, one with truffles, one that's spicy hot, and one with garlic, onion, red pepper, and peppercorns. By the way, the person who did the selecting was Oprah Winfrey. Enjoy! The Plymouth cheese gift tray is $40. So it's a little wooden tray with three cubes of wax-covered cheese. And so that's really bright and colorful, great gift-giving idea. PlymouthCheese.com to find more. Now we have a couple of suede shoes, or split leather. Feet just want to have fun. What's pretty in pink? Beautiful in blue, and ultra-charming in wide grosgrain ribbon laces. If you said these desert boots, you clearly know you're Kate Spade. So what we have is a little ankle boot with very flat crepe sole, shown here in blue suede or kind of a taupey beige suede, one wide 1.5-inch black grosgrain ribbon tying them, and they are trip crosta leather boots, originally $2.95 per pair, now 20% off with code Oprah, and go to francisvalentine.com. Ooh, brace yourself. Are you, like Gail King, a cuff buff? These concave bracelets have enough width, weight, texture, and color to make a statement that's decidedly not, get this off me. So what we have here is a snakeskin look, and they are shown here. They're almost 2 inches wide, a silver interior cuff bracelet with sort of a little bit of a concaveness to them. There's a deep hot pink, a deep orange, a deep aquamarine, kind of an olive, a red, a purple, a sort of deep tan, almost gold looking, winter green, and a deep indigo. 1.5-inch cuffs with ostrich overlay. Excuse me, I think I said it was a snakeskin look. Originally $92 each, now 20% off with code Oprah at rusticcuff.com. Under Head Start, this beginner's hat kit, complete with needles, pattern, merino wool, and online tutorials, teaches you how to cast on, knit, purl, and cast off. Today, a homemade hat, tomorrow the world, or maybe just a matching scarf. Luca Palm Hat Knitting Kit, originally $38, now 20% off with code Oprah, at stitchandstory.us. And it's shown here with some really gorgeous wooden needles, a gray cap with kind of a swirl pattern to it, and a muted pink pom-pom on the top. And then they show the two skeins of yarn for that. Perchance to Dream is the next heading. If you ever have to choose between sleeping with Idris Elba and sleeping with flannel sheets, don't be an idiot. Go with Idris Elba. If that's not an option, these unbelievably soft linens are the next best thing. 5-ounce solid flannel bedding, originally $24 to $119, now 20% off with code Oprah, thecompanystore.com. And now let's look in the Love That section of the magazine at great buys under $100. Mixmaster is the heading. Don't be shy. Add some panache with luxe fabrics, provocative prints, and standout embellishments. And the design inspiration from the runway is this Dries Van Noten Spring 2018 look, which has a very oversized oriental look print, as in oriental look, you know, the beautiful satins that have been embroidered. Well, this jacket, which comes just above the knee and has a deep V and sort of boxy sleeves, is a black background with a way oversized chartreuse and yellow floral pattern on it. So what do we have right next to that to carry on this theme? For $40, these boots may not be made for walking, but when the fabric is this gorgeous, who cares? Justfab.com. They are a stiletto heel black satin just above the ankle boot with a vibrant teal magenta, little bit of orange and ivory floral embroidered pattern. So you've got this stiletto heel black satin embroidered boot from justfab.com. Still carrying out that oriental look, for $58, you want to pull back your hair to show off these swingy tassel earrings. So these are in a pale teal. They are from HaggertyHaggerty.com, and they have this sort of knotted pattern at the top and then the silk tassel in about probably 2 or 3 inches. Now we have an oversized cardigan that goes from grandpa to glam with sequined appliques. So without the sequined appliques, this is your V-necked cardigan that might remind you of Mr. Rogers. It's in a charcoal gray. But over on the right side, it has some really funky sequined rose with little green leaves, a magenta color rose, and other little floral and embellishments that are a little bit hard to figure out in the picture. But that's $70 at Zara.com. Still in this oriental look, we have a great pocketbook in, again, black satin, and this has an embroidered pattern that's in a deep coral gray, little bit of lavender. Give your carry-all a break with a Mary Poppins chic brocade bag from ninewest.com for $79. Elsewhere on the page, still in this sort of oriental look, pants in a rich floral add freshness to your cold weather wardrobe. These are $50 from Zara. They're a deep evergreen color with ivory and black oversized floral design on them and a black border. And they're a little bit loose, creased, but tapering, fitting around the ankle. Now we have a retro pea coat complete with a detachable nubby collar, which is a stylish steal at Target, and it's by A New Day. Classic pea coat, dark gray with a big collar on it, and that's $55. And next we have a silky tank, sasses up a traditional white button down. The top is from H&M, the tank, that is, and the shirt is from Chico's. The classic button-down shirt with the turned-up cuffs in white is $89 at Chico's. And then we have this little close-fitting silk tank, again, black background, little lotus leaf graphic pattern on it in kind of a almost teal green with little sort of orange or deep coral accent stems. $35 from H&M. And a couple of more things on this page. A striped faux fur scarf is a fun companion for your serious winter coat. So these stripes on this faux fur scarf are in deep, deep green, black, and then kind of a blonde color. And they're varying widths. And that is from AnnTaylor.com, and it's $90. The last item on the page is a $50 skirt. It says it's all about the unique asymmetrical hemline and diagonal stripes. The skirt is from GILI at QVC.com. And it's in sort of a deep taupe and black, maybe half-inch stripes. So we've got a little bit of asymmetrical yoke at the top of the skirt. And then below that, it's sort of a wrap and so that we have an uneven hemline at the front because about 3/4 of the front has horizontal stripes. Well, they're at an angle, not really perfectly horizontal, but kind of at an angle. And that side is longer. And then the wrap that comes around is perpendicular to that. And the wrap part's about 4 inches, 5 inches shorter. That's a $50 skirt. And then they have this skinny little 1-inch leather belt in kind of a deep orange from Talbots. And Adam's style sheet says, yes, you can pack light, be comfy, and look pulled together. Meet our next collection, the capsule collection of travel-friendly pieces that can be mixed, matched, layered, and dressed up or down. So we've turned the page now, and the versatile set. In Go With Anything Camel, we have a cardigan and pencil skirt that can be worn either together or separately. And they're made of pont fabric that has both structure and give, plus it won't wrinkle. The cardigan is a very stylish, very warm camel color, and it's got sort of a waterfall lapel, if you will. The front is very full, and then it has this wide lapel, so you get lots of gathers on it, but straight, slender sleeves, and it's open. It doesn't button or zip or anything like that, and it's $188. And then there's a pencil skirt with about a 4-inch yoke around the top, very, you know, nice structured looking, and it's $118 from FrannyGold.com. Oh, and it has a side slit. So you've got this very draping looking cardigan over this slender pencil skirt. Lots of fabric in the cardigan, very little fabric in the pencil skirt. And now we have a faux leather jacket. This is deep, deep gray in the perfect gray shade with sleek monochromatic zippers, as in they're the same color. It works with jeans or a dress. So this slender leather jacket is sort of a takeoff on a motorcycle jacket. It's got zippers there, sort of at the diagonal, right above the waist, and then there's one on the left, right below the yoke. And it doesn't have a lapel, but it has a collar that turns back and slender sleeves. This is the R label by TheReset.com. You can go to shop.TheReset.com for this $225 jacket. So you can wear that over jeans or a dress. And the next thing they show here is a jersey dress with always flattering ruching. A fitted number can take you through a day of exploring and straight to dinner. Now, this is a very slender, close-fitting dress, like a pencil dress, sleeveless with a tall turtleneck. But the turtleneck is very ruched, so there's a lot of fabric in that. You don't have any ruching across the shoulders and bust line, but right at the midriff, all the way to the hem of the skirt, you got these nice, soft, horizontal drapes. And this dress is shown in a charcoal gray, and it is from Bailey44.com, and it's $194. So we're building our wardrobe here. We have the camel waterfall and extra fabric, lots of nice, luscious folds of fabric in a cardigan and a skinny skirt, also in camel. And then we've got a black leather jacket and a gray skinny dress. And our next item is a button-down. This special no-iron cotton sateen shirt has a longer tunic feel, and it's $99 from Chico's. And it's in narrow black and white stripes, half-inch stripes, very tailored-looking, nice detail, horizontal stripes at the cuff, and, you know, the yoke shows up nicely, and the collar's really crisp, and the buttons are hidden in a placket. So that's a $99 sateen cotton striped shirt from Chico's. So our next item are suede slides. You'll glide through airport security in these seasonless slip-ons. They're $150 at tkeys.com, and they're a deep sort of camel mid-tan color, split suede or split leather slide, completely unadorned, seamless, very simple. Stylish slides. Okay, the next item here is a long-sleeved tee. Not only is this cozy white shirt made for layering, but it is also gives great body coverage. Extra long sleeves, a little long over the hips, and a nice scoop neck. It's $95 at Lord & Taylor, and it's from Donna Karen, New York. And final item to pack for this going away, comfy jeans. The super soft fabric has 360 stretch technology. They're $40 from Old Navy. They're dark with a little bit of fading, and creasing on the thigh and right as you sit down. There's one more item here on this page, a large wrap scarf. And this is in kind of a indigo blue, kind of a blue jeans blue with some gray in it. Stay warm stylishly in flight or out on the town in this large wrap that can also be, you know, sort of twisted and used as a scarf. It is Blue Salt Malibu, established 2017, and it's $192. Go to bluesalt.com. Now, what are you going to pack all these clothes in? Well, we have some luggage selections at the bottom of the page. Leaders of the pack. From carry-ons to a cosmetics case, these handy travel companions really go the distance. Get on board. The first one is a blue backpack. Stash your goods in the 8 pockets of this hands-free carry-all. And I say backpack, it's very stylish. It doesn't have a lot of puckers and extra zippers. It's got a lovely little sort of scooped flap on the back. And it's a nice, soft royal blue. It's kind of a light version of that. $495. It's $495 at Tumi.com. Next, we have a toiletry bag. Keep hair tools and makeup separate with the two compartments in this magenta with gold trim toiletry bag. Throw your flat iron in the insulated top half. They show a flat iron sticking out. It's purse in, and it's $68. Go to shopperson.com. Next, we have a duffel bag, but this one's kind of squared off, and it's in white with, again, that sort of marine blue trim and blue handles. Nasty weather, sloshing coffee, no problem. The durable canvas is water and stain proof. This is $365 at Paravel. Go to tourparavel.com. And finally, a trolley suitcase. This is shown in red. And download the app, and you'll be able to track this smart suitcase when it's close by. It's $295, and it is from Raiden, R-A-D-E-N.com. And it has a built-in phone charger. It's sort of your classic rolling suitcase, nice smooth edges in red, and the telescoping handle. And we have one more page of style tips from Adam. Adam's Home Style Sheet. Seeing spots. Do you have animal instincts? You're right on trend with the latest leopard-inspired decor and fashion. Every item on this page has a leopard pattern, from the partially unrolled sheet of wallpaper, which is a little bit off-white with gray leopard pattern on it, on the prowl. $75 per roll. This wallpaper is from grahambrown.com. Then we have a nice trim little sort of 1970s inspired straight rectangular, slender rectangular legs, a little stool with a leopard, and this is the brown and black spots on kind of an ivory background. Jungle Gym, G-E-M, hair on hide stool, $249 at cb2.com. From the catwalk, we have Jungle Leopard Brahma hair heels, stilettos with, and again, they're in that sort of black and brown leopard spots on kind of an ivory or creamy color background. These are $140 at samedelman.com. The thing that makes them so on season are a huge red pom-pom on the toe. And we have a chair above this from birchlane.com, Sitting Kitty, Dexter Slipper Chair, $300. So this is an armless chair with some nail heads around the bottom, no skirt, nice wooden legs showing. And this is in kind of a creamy beige on off-white background. From AnnTaylor.com, the fine print leopard cardigan. And this is sort of that gradient look. It's ivory at the top, sort of grady, going into a gradient of beige at the bottom with the brown and black oversized leopard spots, and then black cuffs and a black black border on the bottom. So that's $129 at Ann Taylor. Then we have stamps by Kimberly Morgan Formented, $40 for 20. And these are at minted.com. So you can get leopard print U.S. postage stamps at minted.com. Then we have glamping from WilliamSonoma.com, a $495 lamp with a black drum shade and a tall, slender cylinder with brass trim at the bottom and the top of the cylinder. Your classic sort of creamy background with black and brown leopard prints. And let's see, we have Into the Wild, a Serengeti pillow for $65 at BallardDesigns.com. So it's a skinny little long rectangular pillow. And finally, we have Photopop, hair calf and acrylic frame, $35 at Chico's.com. So the leopard print is in about a 2-inch wide border on the outside. And then there's a little red border, about a 1/2 inch of red, almost like a little mat. And then put your own picture in there. And now we're headed to the Feeling Good section of the magazine, and we get O's 2018 Health Heroes. From an intrepid oncologist to a tween activist to a journalist turned patient advocate, this year's superstars have one thing in common: a need to help others. And our first picture is of Mona Mahigad, MD, and she's wearing a really lovely sort of black and white graphic Southwest print inspired dress, and her hijab is a turquoise with a black border on it. And she says, "If I'm having a positive impact on one person, I'm doing my job." And she's holding a little American flag there. So let's read about the Dr. Mahigad. The refugee's refugee. Refuge. The calls flood in, often 10 or 12 a day. Some callers speak fluent English, others almost none. A mother of three with a kidney problem who hasn't urinated in 48 hours. A man whose terrible ear pain isn't responding to antibiotics. A woman puzzling over her mammogram and ultrasound results. She recognizes malignancy, but not low suspicion. In each case, the need is urgent, and the refrain is the same. Everyone said to call Dr. Mona. Dr. Mona is Mona Megahed, MD, 39, an Atlanta area pediatrician who's made it her second job to provide health care to the refugees around her, solving their medical problems herself when she can and getting creative when she can't. When a phone call here and an arm twist there, she finds the specialist, oral surgeon, internist, you name it, whose services are required and often finagles a discount to boot. The daughter of Egyptian immigrants, Mona discovered her avocation in 2015 when she was living in New Jersey and attended a volunteer event at a local Islamic center. There she met 11 Syrian refugee families who told her about their high cholesterol, diabetes, hepatitis C, and more. It was a true aha moment. Dr. Mona realized she could use her Arabic skills and her physician contacts to give the families medical care. The demand for her fairy godmothering was immediate and nonstop, and it only increased in 2016 when she and her family moved to a neighborhood less than an hour from the refugee hub of Clarkston, Georgia. Known as the Ellis Island of the South, Clarkston has 12,700 residents, up to half of whom are current or former refugees. Dr. Mona swiftly got involved with a local aid group and then helped turn it into a chapter of the Syrian Community Network, which assists refugees transitioning to the U.S. If you can't read the instructions on a medicine bottle, Dr. Mona will translate. If you've just had surgery, she knows a nurse who speaks some Arabic and can assist you in caring for post-op wounds. Even if you can't bring yourself to ask for help, she'll give it. Last year, when a woman in the refugee community began exhibiting signs of severe depression but didn't want anyone to know she was having sad thoughts, Dr. Mona convinced her to chat in Arabic with Yasser Kanawati, MD, a Syrian psychiatrist. Dr. Mona says, quote, "Now she's smiling and making eye contact," end of quote. In November, inspired by that experience, Dr. Mona and Kanawati started a therapy group for Syrian immigrants to help them deal with PTSD. Not surprisingly, all this care has earned Dr. Mona her share of fans. Sana Al-Krad, whose husband had the ear pain, says, quote, "I love Mona so much because she is my sister here. She brings happiness to me and my family," end of quote. Our next hero is Joseph Helms, MD, the opioid fighter. When Joseph Helms, MD, founding president of the American Academy of Medical Acupuncture, met Sergeant Jeff Livengood at an acupuncture training session in 2011, he was dismayed by the Marines' injuries. While on patrol in Iraq in 2004, Livengood's armored vehicle had plunged into an IED crater, crushing his wrists and right forearm. 7 years and 11 surgeries later, he could still barely move his hands and suffered from pain, depression, and insomnia. Over the course of his treatment, Livengood had received 8 prescriptions, including 3 for opioids. This wasn't unusual. Prescriptions for pain relievers written by military physicians quadrupled between 2001 and 2009 to almost 3.8 million. In a 2014 study, 15% of surveyed combat soldiers had used opioids in the last month, triple the rate reported by the general public. Yet while highly addictive, opioids may be ineffective for chronic pain. That's where acupuncture comes in. After just one session with Helms' team, Livengood slept better than he had since he was injured. 6 months later, he was able to empty the dishwasher and fold laundry. Most strikingly, he was off the opioids. Since 2010, the Departments of Veterans Affairs and Defense have encouraged their doctors to educate patients about acupuncture as an alternative to opioids. But even though peer-reviewed scientific studies have shown acupuncture can successfully treat various medical problems, few doctors are qualified to offer it. So in 2014, Helms started the ACUS Foundation, a nonprofit that trains military doctors in acupuncture. The group established a program at Nevada's Nellis Air Force Base that in 3 years has trained more than 100 physicians, including 25 doctors stationed at Nellis who have performed 8,000-plus acupuncture treatments. After the first year, opioid prescriptions on the base dropped by 45% in patients who received at least 4 treatments. The program is now training physicians from military bases in California, Illinois, Nebraska, and Florida, with more on the way. Helms says, quote, "Our goal is for every service member and veteran going into a primary care clinic to have the acupuncture option," end of quote. As for Livengood, he still gets pricked a few times a year. He's retired from the military and has much more control of his hands, enough to help care for not only his 3 children, but also the 60 chickens he and his wife raise to supply organic eggs to local chefs. Namta Swarup, MD, is our next hero. The first responder. In 2016, there were 4,368 shootings in Chicago, many on the south side. That part of the city lacks a level 1 trauma center. Depending on their location, victims can be more than 5 miles from the nearest one. But in the first hour after being shot, every minute counts, says Mamta Swarup, MD, a trauma surgeon at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. She says, quote, "The longer it takes a person who is bleeding to get to us, the harder it will be to save them," end of quote. Swarup's challenge? Find a way to keep the injured alive long enough to make it to her trauma bay. With the support of Northwestern University, she conducted focus groups with community advocates as well as Southside residents to hear about the violence they'd witnessed and what they wished they could have done to help. And in January 2017, she launched the Chicago Southside Trauma First Responders course. In the free 3-hour class, participants learn how to tie a tourniquet with a T-shirt or scarf, how to put unconscious patients in the side tilt recovery position, how to safely transport people who can't walk on their own, and other simple yet essential techniques that can buy the wounded precious minutes. Swarup coordinated with Ceasefire Chicago, a community violence prevention organization, as well as local high schools, and spread the word via social media. She's since taught life-saving skills to more than 150 adults and teens. Caleb Jacobs, 24, signed up for the class because he wanted to feel more prepared. He'd met Swarup in 2015 after he was robbed and stabbed in the abdomen while walking in downtown Chicago. She helped him through his recovery and follow-up care. Jacobs says, quote, "Her class opened my mind to the idea that I could use ordinary objects to help save someone's life. That's pretty cool," end of quote. Our next hero is Gene Pender, the Bill Buster. 10 years ago, New York Times journalist Gene Pender was reviewing her medical bills when one jumped out at her. More than $6,000 for anesthesia during a quick outpatient procedure. Pender began to research each line item and found that an anti-nausea medication for which she'd been charged $1,419 could be had for just $2.49 through a local drug supply company. She spent months disputing the bill. When the hospital wouldn't budge, she sent a check for $500, about half her copay, with a letter saying they were lucky to get that much. She says, quote, "They never responded, but they did cash the check," end of quote. Commiserating with friends, Pender learned that most of them, too, had been grossly overcharged at some point. So she decided to use the tools of her trade to fight back. After taking a buyout from the Times, where she'd worked for 23 years, she founded Clear Health Costs, CHC. The fact-finding startup partners with news organizations to gather data on medical costs from providers, patients, and government price lists. It also organizes this information, makes it available to the public, and publishes advice on comparison shopping for reasonable rates on things like mammograms, MRIs, and dental fillings. Pender says, quote, "We aim to protect people against outrageous bills while helping them understand how the system works," end of quote. CHC is free to individuals. The news organizations are the ones that pay in exchange for access to CHC's data, use of its software, and other services that assist them in reporting on healthcare and drug pricing. Thanks to Pender's detective work, one New Orleans woman saved nearly $4,000, while another in Newtown, Pennsylvania, knocked $1,250 off her bill. Similar successes have played out across the country. Pender hopes the information will help change medical pricing one bill at a time. She says, quote, "Patients should know what stuff costs, and insurance executives, hospital administrators, and policymakers should know that people are tired of gotcha medical bills. A system where people choose to go without necessary care because they're afraid of what it will cost is a system that badly needs to be fixed," end of quote. Our next hero is Rory Cooper, Ph.D., the independence engineer. Rory Cooper was a 20-year-old U.S. Army sergeant stationed in Germany when a biking accident left him paralyzed from the waist down. One unexpected result of his injury? Learning firsthand the importance of good mechanical design. Cooper says, quote, "My first wheelchair was an 80-pound chrome and steel behemoth that was hard to maneuver around my college campus," end of quote, noting the irony that a device meant to restore some of his mobility often prevented him from getting places. Now 58, Cooper has made a career designing user-friendly devices for people with physical limitations. He's developed lighter-weight manual wheelchairs that are less burdensome to steer, a chair that can be submerged in water and has been used at an amusement park that caters to children with mobility issues, and a power wheelchair that gracefully negotiates curves. In 1994, Cooper became the founding director of Human Engineering Research Laboratories, part of the University of Pittsburgh in the Department of Veterans Affairs, where he oversees nearly 100 engineers, physicians, therapists, and students, many of whom have limited mobility themselves. One of Cooper's latest projects, a collaboration with Connecticut-based healthcare equipment maker Next Health, is a revolutionary transfer and mobility system that allows a person to move herself from wheelchair to bed and back again. No need for a team of caregivers to hoist her or laboriously operate a mechanical lift. For those who are elderly, paralyzed or injured, or who have a degenerative illness, it can mean the difference between having to live in an assisted care facility and being able to remain at home or with family. Like all of Cooper's work, it was designed with independence and dignity in mind. And we have some hurricane heroes. Last summer's storms were catastrophic, but they also inspired acts of profound humanity. J. Vera Raghavalu, Wayne Harris, Michael Crisp, Charles Smith, Jr. The Courageous Cooks. When Hurricane Harvey dropped over 40 inches of rain on parts of Houston in August, it flooded roads leading to and from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. For 4 days, more than 1,000 employees, 500 patients, and 300 of their family members were essentially trapped inside. To make sure folks had enough to eat, 4 members of the general kitchen staff, which includes 40 cooks on a normal day, camped out at the hospital. J. Vera Raghavalu, manager of food operations, Wayne Harris, assistant chief cook, and cooks Michael Crisp and Charles Smith, Jr. Their menu was pared down. Eggs scrambled, for instance, instead of made to order, but they were able to whip up an emergency jambalaya with chicken and beans. Music isn't usually allowed in the kitchen, but to keep spirits and to energy up, the quartet turned on their phones and sang along to mariachi and country tunes. Wearing hospital scrubs, working 17 hours at a stretch, napping on a cot when their bodies needed rest, they got the job done. After 2 days, VPs and directors chipped in, plating, packing, and distributing meals so the cooks could focus on preparing nourishing food for their hungry hospital. And the next hurricane heroes, Vicki Brewer and the DeVito team, the Lifeline. For people who need kidney dialysis, an extended power outage can be deadly. And when Hurricane Irma tore through South Florida, 51 of the 52 clinics owned by DaVita, one of the nation's largest dialysis chains, lost power. However, an emergency plan carried out by Division Vice President Vicki Brewer and DaVita staff ensured that dialysis patients were taken care of. Brewer says, quote, "We treated patients right up until the county ordered evacuations," end of quote. They also sent them home with instructions on what to do if they couldn't make it to a clinic after the storm, along with their medical info so they could get treatment elsewhere if they had to flee the area. In Jacksonville, Brewer and a biomed team set up a staging area with supplies and some 20 generators. After the storm, she drove to 15 clinics, assessing damage and helping coordinate delivery of the generators. She says, quote, "There were no lights anywhere, so our truck drivers had to navigate around major debris on I-95 and then hook up the generators by flashlight," end of quote. With backup power running, the reopened clinics gave dialysis to anyone in need, regardless of their usual provider. Miami staff whose own homes were damaged still came to work. A van ferried patients from the shelter at the USF Sundome to a clinic, and in Key West, nurses searched for three patients who'd refused to evacuate and got them to treatment. As a result of these efforts, more than 18,000 patients were accounted for, and 60 hours after the storm, 95% of centers were back to giving patients the care on which their lives depended. Our next hero is 12-year-old Paloma Rambana, the guiding light. For visually impaired students, school can be tough. It's hard to read books and printouts. The faint lines on graph paper, maddening. It's tricky to avoid bumping into others in the hall, and there's never enough time to copy things down. 12-year-old Paloma Rambana, who was born visually impaired and underwent two surgeries to create pupils when she was less than a year old, says, quote, "People don't like to wait. You learn that early on," end of quote. Rambana is fortunate, though. While she faces some challenges getting around her Florida school, her parents have always made sure she's had key aids, including a closed-circuit TV in which a video camera is connected to a computer monitor to generate an enlarged view of everything it records, like the whiteboard, and an electronic handheld magnifier, tools that range in price from several hundred to a few thousand dollars. But when Rambana was in first grade and talking with friends, she realized that not everyone with sight issues had her advantages. She says, quote, "I knew my parents paid for things, but I never really thought about that until other kids said, 'I wish I had these things. You're so lucky.'" After talking to her parents about her concerns, she learned about an odd gap in Florida state funding. Significant dollars were earmarked for the youngest blind and visually impaired students, 5 and under, and the oldest, between 14 and 22, but not the kids in the middle, 6 to 13. For that group, that meant no access to special reading equipment like CCTVs or for critical life skills instruction, how to operate magnifying devices or cross the street safely. And children who are blind weren't receiving information on how to work a braille writer, use a white cane, or master taking the bus. In 2015, when the Florida Agency Serving the Blind, which had spent years lobbying to close the funding gap, asked Rambana to join their effort, she jumped at the chance. Trading playdates for activism, she held two rallies and lobbied nearly 30 lawmakers, most of whom hadn't even known the gap in services existed. She also launched PalomasDream.org to raise awareness and even out the disparity. Rambana's lobbying helped secure $1.25 million for programs that extend coverage to children ages 6 to 13. The money covers part of the cost of aids like magnifiers, as well as classes to teach visually impaired kids to become as independent as possible. But while Rambana has succeeded in her initial mission in Florida, for which she was recognized by Points of Light, the world's largest organization dedicated to volunteer service, she's now advocating for more state money and last summer lobbied Congress, requesting that at least $1 billion be put aside for special education programs for visually impaired, deaf, and blind children across the country. Go to pointsoflight.org/Paloma to learn more about Rambana and find ways that you can be a changemaker too. And our next hero is Lori LeBay, the Alzheimer's empath. How did you feel when you learned you had Alzheimer's? That's one of Lori LeBay's favorite questions to ask on her bi-weekly podcast, Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. One response from an 85-year-old fellow named Bob was something anyone dealing with Alzheimer's could relate to. Terrible! But LeBay wasn't done. In her Minnesota nice accent, she got Bob to talk about how he came out of his dark period and became a late-blooming painter and poet. He said, quote, "If the Alzheimer's train is coming, you have to start to live your life now," end of quote. LeBay, 58, loves showcasing the surprisingly not awful aspects of Alzheimer's. Her mother lived with the disease for 30 years, plenty of time for LeBay to come up with strategies to help them feel connected and close, like saying, "After a while, crocodile," an old in-joke that still made them laugh. It turned out that having a positive, proactive attitude helped everyone involved. Working in real estate, LeBay helped seniors transition into assisted living. Whenever she talked with staff there about her mom, they encouraged her to share her perspective with other Alzheimer's families, telling her, quote, "All they hear is gloom and doom. They need some inspiration and hope," end of quote. That urging eventually led LeBay to launch Alzheimer's Speaks, with experts sharing coping strategies and research, and groundbreakingly, people with Alzheimer's talking about what the disease has taught them. More than 400 episodes later, it reaches 2,000 to 4,000 listeners every week. And now we'll close out episode 3 with the question. This month's, what's the one question you most want an answer to? Hunter Harris of New York City says, exactly who is asking for James Cameron to make Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5? And we've run out of time. We hope you've enjoyed this. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.